Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We're learning today that all of the victims in yesterday's school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, were in the same fourth grade classroom. The shooter killed 19 children and two teachers before a border control agent broke into the barricaded classroom and ended the worst school massacre in Texas history.
We're going to have news from Texas as it comes to us throughout the hour, including the inevitable response from lawmakers. There is sadly a bit of a script everyone follows for this, but this massacre happened on Election Day in Texas and in four other states, and elections, after all, determine public policy about things like school shootings. So we've got a pinwheel of coverage for you, starting with Houston Public Media's politics and government reporter Andrew Schneider. Andrew, elections affect policy. How did this shooting affect primary day there in Texas?
Unfortunately, there wasn't much of an impact on the actual voting. We saw most of the people that came out to vote had already made up their minds as to who they were going to vote for weeks, if not months ago. Typically, what we have in a primary, and especially in a primary runoff, is you have the most dedicated voters come out.
Right.
And these are people that already have very strong opinions. So while it affected people's mood here, it very likely did not affect their vote.
Yeah. Well, and this weekend, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, Governor Greg Abbott, former President Trump are all scheduled to speak at the NRA's annual meeting in Houston. What's been the talk about whether that should be canceled? What's going on?
Well, probably the most prominent commentator on it so far has been Beto O'Rourke, who's challenging Governor Greg Abbott for the governor's mansion this fall. He went on Twitter basically calling on Governor Abbott to pull out of the convention and to call on the NRA to hold its annual meeting in any state other than Texas. Abbott has not responded to that.
Yeah.
We're also expecting a pretty large demonstration across the street from where the NRA is going to be holding its convention about an hour before President Trump is scheduled to speak.
Yeah. One of the most anticipated races was a Democratic primary in South Texas. Incumbent Congressman Henry Cuellar declared victory, but his race with the progressive Jessica Cisneros still too close to call. Now, Cuellar has been criticized as pro-NRA, anti-abortion, though a Democrat, and it was a tighter race than expected. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the last time I looked, it was about 175 votes that separated the pair of them. At the beginning of the year, it looked like Cuellar was going to have a pretty strong chance of beating Cisneros. Then he had an FBI raid on his home, which still has not been completely explained. Then we had the leaked Supreme Court opinion on abortion, which pretty well mobilized a lot of Cisneros' followers. But as you said, the race is still too close to call. It could be a couple of days before
Right.
we know the final results.
And just briefly, George P. Bush lost a primary runoff with incumbent Ken Paxton in the state attorney general's race. This is despite Paxton facing securities fraud and bribery charges, and Donald Trump saying that this is the Bush family member that he liked. Is this the end of the Bush family's political dynasty?
Not necessarily, but it's going to be a while before we see a Bush in any kind of high-profile race in Texas again, I think, after this.
Yeah. Andrew Schneider, politics and government reporter at Houston Public Media. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's turn now to Georgia, where a fierce battle for governor is brewing. Stephen Fowler covers politics for Georgia Public Broadcasting. Hi, Stephen.
Hey there.
So last night, Brian Kemp, the incumbent governor, trounced David Perdue, the former senator, endorsed by former President Trump. Brian Kemp signed a new abortion ban, new voting limits, new gun rights. Did he gain traction on some of these or all of these issues?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Brian Kemp is one of the most conservative governors in the country and one of the most conservative that Georgia has ever seen. And so he has flexed his power as governor, especially in the last 6 months or so, by showing conservative voters that he's their guy. I mean, teacher pay raises, cutting taxes, loosening gun laws. You know, really, there was never a reason for Republican voters in Georgia to pick anyone other than him because of the policies he's championed in his time in office.
So the general election now will be a rematch between Kemp and Democrat Stacey Abrams. He edged her out 4 years ago. And she's been on the hot seat for saying Georgia was the worst state to live in because of problems with healthcare, prisons, and other issues. What will define this general election campaign?
Well, since it's a rematch, there's two known entities running against each other. I mean, Brian Kemp narrowly defeated Stacey Abrams by about 55,000 votes in 2018. And so really here, more than any other place in the country, is going to be voters voting who they think will lead Georgia in the best direction for them moving forward. Because Kemp and Abrams both have a plethora of policy platforms that they've staked out and how they want to move Georgia forward and change different things. And so really, it's about the future of Georgia, not just for the next 4 years, but beyond.
Now, another candidate in Georgia backed by former President Trump lost. Jody Heiss ran for Secretary of State, lost to Brad Raffensperger, the incumbent. We know the name. Raffensperger was asked by Trump infamously to find votes back in 2020. He declined. Does this mean anything more broadly for candidates endorsed by Donald Trump?
Absolutely. I think there is an upper ceiling on the obsession with the 2020 election and pushing false claims about fraud. There's an upper ceiling of how far that can get you as a candidate in a primary election. You know, Brad Raffensperger has spent the past 18 months pushing back on claims that Trump and others have made about Georgia, about Georgia's voting system, and things that are just false. And Raffensperger comfortably won every part of the state except for the part where Jody Heiss represents in Congress. And what's an interesting thing to note is that there are a high number of people that voted in Democratic primaries in 2020 in Georgia that pulled Republican ballots this time. And many people that we talked to said they did so to vote for people like Brad Raffensperger because Raffensperger stood up for elections and did the right thing. So Raffensperger narrowly beat the threshold to avoid a runoff, probably in part due to Democratic crossover votes.
Okay, and very quickly, the Senate race pits Democratic incumbent Raphael Warnock and Republican Herschel Walker, the former running back. What are you watching there?
Well, it's going to be another fierce battle like most in Georgia, and that race could very well decide control of the U.S. Senate again, expected to be expensive and close fought and something that everyone's going to be talking about.
Stephen Fowler, Georgia Public Broadcasting. Stephen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And lastly, Alabama and the Republican Senate primary. Congressman Mo Brooks got enough votes to move on to a runoff next month, despite losing an endorsement from former President Trump. Cody Short covers politics for WBHM in Alabama. Cody, all three candidates in this Senate primary ran pro-gun campaigns, but Mo Brooks received a NRA endorsement and claimed to be the most conservative. Is this a case of a Republican getting the Trump voters but not the Trump endorsement?
No, I think, first of all, Mo Brooks was able to get the NRA endorsement because of his voting record. Mo Brooks has served as a congressman in Alabama for the last 11 years and has a long track record of working in public office in Alabama and having very strong conservative views. But I don't think that this has anything to do with former President Donald Trump at all.
Yeah. Brooks lost Trump's endorsement because he said he wanted to move past the 2020 election, but Brooks was the first House member to object to the 2020 election results. He gave a speech to Trump supporters right before the January 6th riot. He's been subpoenaed by the House committee investigating that riot. Given, you know, who his potential voters are in this runoff, is that going to be a good or a bad thing for him?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think that voters in Alabama really care about Donald Trump's endorsement, just like we saw in Georgia. People are voting based off of that particular politician's their campaigns and the things that they're saying and how they're reaching to that audience specifically. You have a lot of people here in Alabama who believe that the election was stolen, and specifically to the January 6th insurrection, they believe that that was just a day of protest. So, you know, if you speak to that, that could be something that they actually would want to vote you in for.
Yeah, badge of honor. Well, Brooks faces Katie Britt in that runoff. Who is she?
So Katie Britt is running for the U.S. Senate seat against Mo Brooks, as you just said, and she has served as an aide to Senator Richard Shelby on and off over the last 15 to 20 years. Bridget Shelby has been the senator in Alabama for 36 years, and she also was head of the business lobby in Alabama. She's considered an established candidate because of her ties to Richard Shelby, but she didn't campaign like that. She led with a lot of what we call, you know, the cultural war politics, echoing what we've heard a lot of Republicans across the country say, like she's anti-abortion. She believes in protecting our Second Amendment and protecting those gun laws, building a wall to protect the border. And she calls herself a strong Christian conservative. And so what we see is a lot of money being put behind her, all because of her connections and working with Senator Richard Shelby.
Yeah. Governor, who is retiring? Governor Kay Ivey won the crowded Republican primary in her bid for re-election. So just briefly, strong conservative record. She also made election fraud claims. Is she pretty much likely to be re-elected?
Right. Yes. So I do think that she has a strong case in being elected. Unfortunately, Alabama has not voted outside of the Republican Party in over 25 years. So Kay Ivey more than likely will become the governor again.
Cody Short, WBHM in Alabama. Thank you.
Thank you.